You may be seated. Now I would ask you to turn to the first chapter of Romans in your Bible. What does an apostle long for? What does he think about? What, you know, fills his thoughts as he lays down at night to go to sleep? And in the case of Paul, oftentimes when he was in prison over the years. Well, we're going to see some of that as we read. Last week we read and were introduced to Paul's first few words to this church in Rome, a church that he did not found, that he has not met in person, although he knew some of the people there from meeting them around the empire and his ministries, and then they would have gone to Rome. But as he writes to this church, we heard his beginnings of his greeting last week. Today we're going to be in verses 8 through 15, but I'm going to go ahead and start with 7. So Romans 1, 7 through 15, this is God's word. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray you would write your word upon our hearts. Help us open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in your law. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we don't write handwritten letters as much anymore as in times past. You think about writing of letters, even for those of us, I mean, and we still do it. We still do put things in the mail for one reason or another. But you think about the patience it takes. We write a letter, we put it in the mail. And then even in our day, we have a mail carrier that comes and picks it up and takes it, or you take it to the post office, and just the patience. Imagine Paul writing this and just handing it to someone. would you get this to Rome? I mean, he's in Corinth. Here, could you, or I guess he would roll it, maybe rolled it up, and just the faith and just the wonder of God's providence that we have all the letters that we have. When I was recently listening to a R.C. Sproul's, one of his, right before he died, some sermons he preached on the parables, he asked the question, if you know, that proverbial question that some of you may have actually dealt with, so of his house was on, you know, if your house was on fire and you only had a moment to go, you know, grab a few things before it was going to be burned up, what would you get? One of the things R.C. said that he would have gotten would have been letters from his father, a box of letters that his father wrote him when he was in World War II. His father was an accountant, but he enlisted and went and served in some capacity in World War II, and he wrote R.C. letters. Those letters would have been one of the things he would have retrieved before they burned up in his house. Well, thankfully, the Lord has preserved this letter for us today. And today, before we move on to, I don't know if there's any meat and potatoes in the fellowship hall right now, but this is a meat and potatoes sermon today. It's very basic Christian stuff. What does an apostle long for? What does an apostle long for? Well, first of all, he expresses his longing through intercessory prayer. Paul is again trying to introduce himself, and his introduction is longer than usual because he doesn't really know these people. Although at the end of the letter, we'll see he does know a number of people by name. This is a long introduction. That's why we're taking it in actually 3 weeks, three different sermons. But as he is longing to go to Rome, as our ESV tells us in its little note it's stuck there, he tells them of his intercessory prayer. I've been praying for you. An apostle deals with the longing of his heart, and in this case, a Christian, a believer, our fellow believer, the Saint Paul, Brother Paul, through intercessory prayer. He tells them, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He's thankful. He has gratitude for these people. He even tells them how he prays. There's a gospel in his prayer. I thank God through Christ, our mediator, the only mediator between God and man. I thank God for you through Christ. I'm thankful for you. And here's what he's thankful for in particular. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Remember, Paul has traveled much of the Roman Empire, the known world of the day, of his area of ministry. Your faith is proclaimed, and I am thankful for this. I'm thankful for your faith. Notice he's not jealous. He's not envious. He didn't plant this church. He's really had not much personal influence on this church in some ways, and yet he's thankful. The church in Rome is growing. He's not envious of this place that he's really had nothing, you know, specific in the direct ways he has. I'm sure indirectly he's influenced it through people there. He's just happy to hear that the Lord is at work in Rome, growing his church, growing his people. And again, this is the earliest days of the church, of the New Testament church, of the ministry of the message of Christ being preached. He's thankful. We're going to learn in a couple of weeks that one of the surest ways to fall away from the Lord is ingratitude. One of the surest ways to fall into sin is ingratitude. He's going to tell us about the sinners in this world who weren't thankful. We're going to hear about that. So he's telling us now, in his case, he's thankful. And so he prays for them. He prays. And he tells them, you know, I pray for you constantly. God knows. He says, you know what? God is my witness. God knows this. What I'm telling you is true. I pray for you. I serve God for the gospel of his Son. And I want you to know, I mention you without ceasing. Always. I'm praying for you. And I'm praying this. I'm praying that I may come see you. Always in my prayers asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. He wants to be with them. He wants to come see them. He wants to enjoy fellowship with them. We're going to get to that in the next, as he talks about that. But he wants to come. He's, you know what, let's just stick with the prayer theme here. He's praying and asking God to let him get to Rome. He wants to get to Rome. This is intense. He is asking that God would get him to Rome. You know what? Sometimes God answers our prayers, but not exactly in the way that we would have expected it. How does Paul get to Rome? As a prisoner. That's how he gets there. When he finally arrives there, he's a prisoner. Now, Paul prayed for a safe trip back in Acts, and he did get there safely. He gets to Rome. God answers his prayer. He gets there and he gets there safely. After getting arrested, slapped in the face, shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake. You remember those in the end of Acts? God is going to answer this prayer. He hasn't answered it yet. God's going to answer it. Paul doesn't realize, but he is intent on getting there. And God is going to answer it. Intercessory prayer is how the apostle deals with his concerns, deals with his desires. He prays. I mean, it's really a simple application for us. To pray and to keep praying, to study God's word, to get the help of others, the counsel of others. And, you know, as we pray, God will bring our will in line with his will. As we pray ceasingly, unceasingly, as he was praying unceasingly, eventually it became clear to Paul. Eventually he did realize the only way he was going to get there was as a prisoner. He doesn't know it yet. But God will bring things, he'll make things clear. But just like when we send the letter, and as Paul had to have patience and faith that this letter would arrive, so with our prayers. It takes patience and faith. But Paul gives us, in this case, an example. We take our longings to God. And then, as it's going to blend into the next point, we also include our longings. We include our brothers and sisters in Christ. We tell our longings to them so they can be a part of our seeking what God's will would be for us. Apostolic longing. He takes his longing to God through intercessory prayer. But the apostolic longing here of Paul is also for fellowship. I long to see you, verse 11, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. He knows his gifts. He knows what God is doing in his life. He wants to share with them what he knows, what God has taught him, what God has done in his life. But then it's like he thinks about that. Maybe that'll sound like I'm better than them. He says, but hold on. That is, I actually pray that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, yours and mine. It seems that he quickly, you know, understands, I want to be a blessing to you, but I also know you're going to be a blessing to me. The koinonia, the fellowship. You know, I think it would, on one level, Paul, who actually at the time that Acts 2 was written, Paul was getting ready to persecute the church. He wasn't even a part of this. Maybe he wants to be a part of this. Maybe Paul wants to get to Rome to this church in the seat of the empire. So that he can join the church there and devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, that is the koinonia, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. He wants to enjoy this with the people, the brothers and sisters in Rome. Again, he just is an example. Verse 11, strengthening. Verse 11, the strengthening that we can impart to one another. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. But then also the encouragement. That is that you may encourage me as well as we share together. You know, maybe one of our applications of this for us as believers is that as believers, we move beyond when we have an opportunity together, when we're together, that we move beyond news, sports, and weather, and we deal with the more important things. Maybe we have a little news, sports, and weather to get warm up the conversation, but that we go a little deeper, and that we share with one another. I'm a bivocational minister. I live in Tuscaloosa. Ron Smith, the minister at Utah, I don't know if y'all know Ron and his wife Peg. He lives in Tuscaloosa. He ministers in Utah. Ron reached out to me a lot since I've been working at DCH, and then I called him back finally. He had been getting me to get together. I said, it's my turn. I called and got together with him. He came over to the hospital, actually. Little did I know, he and Peg go there for leukemia treatment, so he was well aware of the cancer treatment area, but I took him to the other part of the hospital. But he said, you know, Josh, pastors don't need a lot of friends, but they need a few. And so I'm actually engaging with Ron as a new friend and brother in Christ. Y'all know he invites us. Every Christmas he invites our church, trying to get us to come to hear the Stillman Singers. Y'all know that. In Utah, they get the Stillman Singers to come, and then someone in his family records it. We need fellowship. Men, I could just exchange the word pastor for men. Can I do that? Men don't need a lot of friends, but we need a few. Coming from a guy that's really gone solo a lot, men, like Paul, seek fellowship. We need fellowship. We can't make it on our own, though a lot of us, we think that we can. So the apostolic longing, intercessory prayer, fellowship, and then discipleship. There's discipleship. In this case, I think there's a lot going on here at the end. I think that it's covering a lot, but Paul then concludes this part of the, really this is almost his conclusion of his introduction, because next week we're going to get to what we might call his thesis for this whole letter, for this whole explanation of the gospel. But he then kind of goes deeper here for a moment and discusses with them, you know, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers. Just a side note here. You'll notice when it says brothers in the ESV and there's a footnote, it's just saying brothers and sisters. I usually just add the and sisters, just so you get the gist of it. So he's saying, brothers and sisters, listen, I've really wanted to come. Now he's going to talk about God's providence here for a minute. I have really wanted to come to you, but I haven't been able to get there. And he actually tells them that. I've been prevented. I've wanted to get there, but I've been prevented. I want to stop there because I want to make an application here before I finish to his why he wants to get there. I've wanted to come, but I've been prevented. Okay, God has prevented him from getting there. Paul has had an impassioned desire to go to Rome, and God has said no. So far up to this point, God has said no. Now, you know one of the results of God saying no? What if Paul had already gotten to Rome? What would we not have? Someone can say it out loud. If Paul had gotten to Rome when he wanted to, what would the scripture be lacking? Romans! We wouldn't have this book that last week I mentioned, for those of y'all who weren't here. We mentioned how Augustine was saved through hearing someone read Romans out loud. We learned how John Wesley, after he had already been a missionary from England to Georgia and had gone back and still wasn't saved, how he got saved. He became to know the Lord. He was regenerated, I think it's fair to say, through listening to a reading of Luther's preface to the book of Romans. Next week, we're going to get to someone else who's been impacted by Romans. God had it in his mind that Paul was going to pen this letter. So he couldn't let him get there before he had written the letter, or we wouldn't have Romans. This letter is a powerful exposition of the Christian faith. It has helped countless millions of believers through the centuries. God's no to Paul at first has been for the benefit of his people throughout the ages. Okay, why does he want to get there? He wants to get there for ministry, because of a duty, because of preaching the gospel. We can just look at this quickly here. I want to reap a harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I actually think that what he's getting at here, I actually think there's more. I just said ministry, I said discipleship. I really think evangelism is probably more specifically. He wants to be involved in discipleship, but I think even more the words here, are the way that he's saying it, what he's saying, the harvest. He wants to bring people into the kingdom. He wants to have a harvest. He wants to have a harvest. He wants to go to Rome, to go to this place of particularly where there are Gentiles, and bring others in into the faith. He's an evangelist at heart. He wants to bring others into the faith. He wants to have ministry to both Greeks and barbarians. That would simply be Gentile. Greeks, barbarian. That is, Gentile. So he means like citizens of the Roman Empire, others who are, you know, who are living there for whatever reason, and then as well to the Jews. His ministry is going to be to everyone. and to the wise and to the foolish. You sense his desire to go to this new place of ministry. And of course, we know that in Paul's mind, he was going to go on to Spain from there. God didn't have that in God's plans. And then he says, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Paul believes that in the preaching of the gospel, people will come to know Jesus. They will become new creations. That the old will pass away and new will come. That can happen to Greeks, to barbarians, to the wise and to the foolish. He wants to come and impart a renewal of life. He wants to come and be in part of faith working through love. He wants to come and share with God's people as well as bring others into the ministry. Paul understands. Let me just, when he says here again, I'm under obligation to Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and the foolish. In other words, the gospel is for everyone. The gospel isn't just for Jews. Paul had to learn that very quickly. And God showed him that on the Damascus Road when he said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, and you're going to go there through, as Ananias would tell him, through many sufferings. But you're also going to stand before kings. You're going to have many opportunities to share the gospel. And so at this point in his ministry, he now wants to also share it in Rome. What is Paul's obligation? His obligation, since that Damascus Road experience, he is consumed with spreading the good news of salvation. That is what Paul wants to do. That is his expectation. And he sees it as both his aspiration, his expectation, his obligation. I want to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Friends, we never outgrow our need for the gospel, our need to be reminded that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners like us. That he lived the life we couldn't live in our place. We can't do it. All of the boxes you may have checked off to make sure you're in good shape with God, I'm not saying perhaps all those boxes are next to something that is a good thing in your life. But the only thing that will restore our fellowship with God is that Jesus takes our sins upon himself and he gives us his righteousness. He forgives us our sins. He makes our account balance at zero. And then he gives us his righteousness to make our account balance, if you want to put it that way, full. So that we can be received into his fellowship forever. Paul's life was about that. That's why he wrote this letter. To preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Friends, Jesus came into this world to save sinners like us. He says to each of us, even this day, come to me. If you're already a believer, then take this as a believer. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest. Take my yoke upon you. There is a yoke, but it's a easy yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me. and find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would instill within each of us a gratitude, that we would be thankful for our own salvation, coming to know God through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make us grateful people. We pray that you would increase our desire for fellowship within the body of Christ. Lord, in such a challenging world in which we live in, where the gospel is being attacked at every turn and your way of living is not seen as the right way of living anymore, Lord, give us a desire for fellowship and to strengthen and encourage one another. And then, Lord, give us that burning desire that others would know Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.